Amen, amen. Well, it is great to see you all here today. Another gorgeous Sunday morning. And boy, isn't it an awesome time to worship? Worshiping God like this? Yeah. Well, I know that Pastor Preston, in the last few weeks, has asked each of our staff to share straight from the heart. And today, I am super excited to share with you something that I know that God has birthed in my heart for over 3 years now. And so I'm hoping that this may resonate with you, that you may walk away going, yeah, I think I can, I hear this, I resonate, I know that this applies to my life. Many of us have asked that big question, so what's the purpose of my life? It's pretty straightforward, right? I mean, in the sense of, am I going the right way? Am I going the right direction? Wondering what God has in store for us. If that is you, welcome to the club, because I think we've all asked that question from time to time. Or maybe you're stuck. Maybe you've been in a season and you know you want it to change and yet you feel stuck. Or maybe you even love control. I know a few of us love control. I know I do. And it's an easy opportunity to kind of say, okay, God, I will do things exactly the way I want them. And then you kind of fit in the box. The good news, though, through all of these questions and some of these answers is that God hears you, He sees you, and He has all the answers. So today we'll be visiting about living your life of faith when we can't see the full picture, right? Living your life of faith when you can't see the full picture. So for the last two summers, my family and an army of amazing volunteers have been hosting a summer camp at my family's farm. And this camp is called AgriVenture. It's for kiddos grades 3 through 6. And really, it's a camp to highlight God's creation. It's a hands-on opportunity for kids to learn more about gardening and forestry and woodworking and arts and crafts and music. And then my favorite part comes in with the farm animals. And so myself and a few others, we have the opportunity of teaching kiddos much about horses and sheep and all the other animals, that chickens that come from a farm and are useful on a farm. Well, one of the areas that I love to do, and actually I'll probably laugh even talking about it, is teaching kids how to lead a horse. Now, it doesn't seem to be a really difficult type of thing as adults, right? Or maybe some kids are like, I've done that. But we talk about, here's a lead rope, this is what it does, and this is how you hold it, and this is how much pressure you might want to put on or need to put on a particular horse's head. And in this case, whoops, we'll show that picture. This is Abby. And Abby takes a lot of pressure. She's my dad's draft horse, and she takes a little bit more pressure. She takes a few more verbal cues than my other horse. But we talked to the kids about, how do you lead this horse? Do you lead this horse with focus and with intention? He needs to know that you're the leader. And also focusing forward, forward. And so what happens, undoubtedly, is the kids, even though we walk through that with them and we're going this way and you say, head, you know, keep your eyes up, face forward, they look behind them almost as if they're afraid that the horse is going to jump on them. But I suppose that lead rope is almost more like dental floss to them, thinking it's just this little bitty rope with this big, big animal behind me. But actually what happens is the kids often will do this. They'll put their head down and they'll have the horse here, and they end up, what? They don't walk forward. We ask them to walk from point A to point B, or from cones. And what happens? They end up walking in curves, and they end up walking in circles because they're not facing forward and they're not focusing. And it's not their fault. They're brand new at this. But we do get some good laughs about it because it is something new to them, and we all can relate to that. And I think there are a lot of lessons in this just in life. I suppose it's like when we're not staying focused on God and how quickly we can walk aimlessly through life, maybe with no direction or purpose, when our situations and our focus get so inward that we're afraid to maybe make a step or take the wrong step, we get tangled up. We get stuck in our safe places because we know that that's comfort to us. We know that that's an area that I can maybe control, but it's comfort. Or maybe we think we've got it all under control, right? That there is no other source or force that is controlling anything in our environments. Well, we know that most of us want logic, and we mostly want things to go according to our plan, according to our timing, right? Isn't that the truth? Our plans and our timing. Well, as we look inward, we follow our thoughts and our ideas rather than focusing on God for His purpose, His strength, His power, and His courage and comfort. When we focus upward, we are led and we are drawn in to God's love, and then we're not rocked by the conditions we face. Although we may not know exactly where we're going or where the path may lead us, we must believe and have faith that God knows and God is leading us to the great unknown. Do you have faith to let Him guide you? Do you have faith where you can't even really see where you're going or what the next steps will be? Well, today we're going to be talking about Proverbs 3, verse 5. And it's probably a verse you've heard of many, many times, or maybe it's your life verse. So join along with me if you have your Bibles, grab them, or your phones. But just to give you a little backdrop on this, Proverbs 3, 5, it is found in the Old Testament. It's sandwiched beautifully between the Psalms and Ecclesiastes. And Solomon is the author of Proverbs, who left a beautiful legacy of written wisdom through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It gives practical insights about the daily instruction book. These short, concise moral truths give us practical examples of how to live our lives with godly wisdom. So will you read aloud with me Proverbs 3:5? Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And if you know verse 6, and in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now, we're told not to lean on our own understanding. Well, how could that be? Because God has given us brains. But it means also that we're not supposed to draw solely on our own perceptions and our own ideas. Our understanding is really limited. We don't always think that, but in God's view, it really is. We only know what we have seen, what we have learned, and God knows the entire picture. If we exercise our faith, we're not setting aside our intellect, but rather we're resting our intellect on God's intellect. Nothing or no one is wiser or more sane, and to do so is to allow Him to give the direction in our lives to not only lead us to ultimate joy, but have such a richness in our lives. And yes, there may be sorrows. Yes, there may be difficult times. And even in 2 Corinthians 6:10, it speaks of that. But recognize that God has got such a big picture planned for you and designed for you. Church, we may never, ever understand the full picture or fully understand the full picture or perfect balance that He has for us. But we know through faith that we need to step out. And quite honestly, I think if God did give me that full picture, I'm not even sure that I would love every bit of it, because sometimes He does allow us to take some paths that are a little challenging. But the cool thing is that He gives it to us in bite-sized morsels. He doesn't make us see the full picture and have to accept it, but rather He gives it to us in bite-sized morsels. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Many of us have put those together, right? Maybe when we were kids or maybe as adults. I remember my grandparents having a specific table just for their puzzle that they would work on from time to time. And you know what? Truth be known, I don't even like puzzles. I don't know about you. I don't even like them. I'm not patient. I get really frustrated, and I don't know what it is, but I want to see the full picture come together. A few weeks ago, our grandkids, they're now toddlers, they're like, "Granny, Granny, help us with this." And so they took this bin, and it had a jigsaw puzzle, and I'm like, "Sure, of course we'll do that. Of course, they're your grandkids, so you'll do anything for them." And they dumped it out, and I'm like, awesome, where's the picture? And they're like, we don't know. Where's the cover? We don't know. And of course, I'm going, oh, great, I don't even like doing this stuff. But here we are looking at this going, all the pieces are on the floor. And I have no idea. So, right, so don't you start, you put the outside edges out, right, and then you'll maybe sort it by color. Well, needless to say, I gave up on it because I'm like, I can't figure this out. But I am convinced that God uses a metaphor of a jigsaw puzzle to help us gain a better understanding of our life. God is superior in his understanding, and he does have the full picture. Isn't this great? We always buy these great-looking puzzles, don't we? By the picture, we think, this is so cool. And I do think that this is really what God gives to us to look at. This is our life. He doesn't always give us the full picture. He might give it to us little bits by bits, but often we're kind of looking at it like this. And I also look at life as a big jigsaw puzzle. These are all the pieces of our life. These are all the parts of our life that might represent decisions that we've made, that might represent people, that might represent dreams that we've had, that might present nudgings that God has given to us, promptings, and says, go. It might represent some family changes. It might represent some highs and some blessings and some incredible mountaintop opportunities, but it also might represent some lows and some challenges and some frustrations. But I need to tell you this, that through all of this, God is working behind the scenes because he has the big picture and he is giving it to us piece by piece by piece. So ushers, you can come on up because we're going to give you each a piece of a puzzle today. Now, first service, someone asked me, like, are you going to make us get together and try to, like, find each other's, you know, connectors? But no. We're not going to do that today. But I am going to ask you to take it home with you. God provides us that big picture, the big puzzle. And again, like I said, it's living without the picture. He provides the portrait. And we, if we are obedient, we walk along and we lean into him. He is taking us on all different paths and directions, and yet all of those pieces fit perfectly together, one by one. Yeah, it can be frustrating, we know that, and our patience might be tested, mine certainly is, from time to time, and yet we learn to trust him, because as I said, we're not always seeing the full picture come together, we're looking at it from the cardboard side. We are created to live in his presence and purpose that gives him the glory. It doesn't give us the glory. It gives him the glory. And now this takes on a whole different meaning of life, doesn't it? When you're not living for yourself, you are living for him, putting his picture together. One of the pictures that I recently had a conversation with was, some of you may know Annie Shaw. Annie Shaw attends our congregation. And Annie, a number of years ago, and I wish she were here because I didn't get the exact number, probably 8 or 9 years ago, was at her Thanksgiving meal with her family. I believe it was a niece that was with her, and they are looking at this bountiful table, this meal that was plentiful, and the Lord said to Annie, feed my children. Feed my starving children. And if you know Annie, it didn't take her long to get excited about that. But at the same time, recognizing, like, Lord, is that you? Is that a nudge from you? That's a big deal. Thinking you want me to feed the world. You want me to feed the world. And so beautifully, Annie prayed about it. She wrestled it. She wrestled with this whole idea. And then she spoke to others. She went to her pastor. She went to her prayer partner. She went to individuals in the community that she could trust and she knew that would have a heart for this, to pray for her and pray for what God had laid on her heart, a big dream. And through it all, that was in November, and the following spring, feed my starving children as an organization came to Marshfield, and we packed meals for children across the world, and we continued to do that. Now, if Annie would have said, hey, this puzzle, I don't get this piece. I'm just going to throw it out. Rather, she said, no, you know what, Lord, I am going to be obedient to your call. I am going to be obedient, and I'm going to pray on this, and I'm going to ask for wisdom, and I'm going to trust that you are going to put all of the pieces together for me. It hasn't been easy, but at the same point, it has been so rewarding. And a few of us that were in El Salvador, at least for me a couple years ago, I walked into a warehouse, and guess what I saw? I saw Feed My Starving Children bags there. And I'm like, yeah, I have no idea if we packed those or they came from somewhere else. But it didn't matter because I knew from Annie's heart that God had placed something so big on her heart that she thought it was impossible. But God said, don't you ever think anything is impossible. I will make it possible. Look at your puzzle piece right now. Right on. Look at that puzzle piece. Have you noticed how it's curved and how, you know, it's a little jagged perhaps? The pieces are abnormal. They don't always look the same. The shape doesn't make sense. And yet many times we may all feel like jagged edges, don't we? Like we all kind of have that. It can be rough. It can be difficult to walk in his path and expect him and know that he will lead us. And yet we know that through the hardships, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He gives us peace. We find peace in this piece of the puzzle. We know that the peace that he gives us is beyond our comprehension. And yet so many times we wish for those straight edges, right? We wish, as I was putting together the toddler puzzle, going, just give me one with a square. Instead, no. He gives us this with intention. He gives us these jagged edges so that we learn to rely on him, not always knowing where the next piece is going to come up. Without faith and without a relationship with him, what is the good of it? By giving up control is where we start turning things around. We're able to set our minds and our eyes upon him, upon something higher, not on the earthly things. In other words, keep your focus to be more like Jesus and to walk with him and in him and less about the world. When we're able to do that, we can accept and even embrace those jagged edges, and it can be a source of absolute joy. Are you like me, though? Do you sometimes limit your faith? Do you maybe put God in a box of, okay, I think this God is possible, but I think this might be impossible? I know for me, I do that. Do you? Yeah? Do we take steps into our unknown, into our impossible, and maybe wonder, like, God, will you just usher me through this? If we walk with him as a genuine experience of our all-knowing, all-loving creator, this master artist who creates every beautiful sight, he can make everything impossible become possible. And when we lean on something, not on our own understanding, but we put all the weight in that place, in the place, in his place, God wants us to trust him beyond measure, even when we don't understand all of our pieces. Even he calls us to sometimes have crazy faith. When our pieces are coming together, he might show us a glimpse of the big picture. But again, it might involve some challenges. It might involve having to learn to have more confidence and patience and hurt. But yet there's healing and there are miracles and joy. Now, do you need proof of people, just like you and me, who have walked that faith walk like an Annie? All we need to do is check out chapter 11 of Hebrews. And Hebrews, I'm just going to open this up really quick. It's not going to be on the screen, but I love this. Hebrews is in the New Testament, And it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And in this whole chapter, it's only 39 verses, 24 times it talks about faith. This is incredible. And so it talks more about faith in that little chapter than all of the whole Bible itself. It is referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And I hope that you have an opportunity when you go home or you're sitting in the drive-thru or you're thinking about going on some social media, go there instead. Listen for what God has to tell and share with you. We find many of the greatest examples of people in the Bible that had accomplishments through their faith. The emphasis was not all that they did or the source of faith, but it was rather on the practice in their real life. Faith is not just a matter of belief. It's a matter of behavior. It's a matter of action. It's a matter of saying, Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to go. But please know that these are only just a few stories of faith. I imagine that if you turned around to your neighbor today and said, share with me a story when you had faith, it was this big or it was that big, I challenge you to ask your neighbor. Sometimes we take those small steps of faith, and that's huge, or sometimes we even take what we call a flyer, and that's a big risk. In other words, take that step of faith, because God has asked us to trust him more than anything. I can only speak to my experiences, and I'm just going to share a story, and hopefully this time I won't cry like I did in first service, but over 3.5 years ago, my dad came to me, and he said, hey, Beth, I have got this dream. I've got this childhood dream of having children come to our farm where we can teach them how to garden and they can grow their produce and sell it at a farmer's market. And he was so excited, and I wasn't. I wasn't at all. I was like, oh, that's really nice, Dad, and I'm not really sure how you're going to get that accomplished, but great. You know, and so I really had a lot of excuses. I didn't think I had a lot of time on my hands to devote. My heart really wasn't into it. But as I prayed and I kind of searched the soul of going, God, you know, I need to change my heart on this. I want to help him. It's, after all, it is his childhood dream that his whole life he's been on this farm. And now if it's resting on me, wow, that's a heavy burden. But after seeking God's heart, he laid an idea on my heart that didn't even come close to my dad's. But I realized it didn't have to. It was only God who could have orchestrated the next things. It was only God who could have shared what he did in order to make these next encounters, these chance encounters, and these chance conversations with people, and doors that opened that I could have never dreamed that have opened, that led me ultimately to taking a few days and flying to Oregon. I went to a children and family ministry called Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, and it was there that I had a mountaintop experience with God. And if you've ever had a true, true experience with the Lord, yeah, it rocks you. It rocks you to your core. And that is where God said, I know you. You love your dad, and I know you love your farm. But here it is. Here's the picture you've been waiting to see. Here it is. And there it was. Everything that God had laid on my heart, plus everything that he had laid on my dad's heart, was right there. It was right on that mountaintop. It was as if I could just reach out and grab the clouds. I was that close to God. And I could not wait to come home and say to my dad, I am all in. I am all in, and it wasn't because of me. It was only because of God. And yet, it wasn't necessarily everything that we had initially thought it would be. Quite frankly, it kind of took a little bit of an interesting twist. But it was only after we submitted to the Lord, that we said, God, take control of this. Because we knew that the wrestle that I was sensing and the wrestle that my dad was sensing of, I've never run a camp. We've never done this before. We don't know how to write curriculum. We need an army of people. We don't, okay, we know people, but are they going to join in? We had lots of doubts. But as we prayed about this venture and we sat for hours and hours and hours talking about the mission and the vision, it came together. God works in incredible ways. And understanding that this peace that came over us was beyond anything I could have even dreamed of. It was something that it almost seemed surreal. It was only because God had provided the right picture at the right time, the right people in the right places. And we give God the glory for placing AgriVenture Farm Camp in our midst. And every time we're with those kids and every time we're with those mentors, we give God the glory for what he has done in and through. And yeah, here are some cool pictures of what God has done in and through. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't like one day we had this idea and all of a sudden it's done. It was that wrestle. It was that saying, God, it was those doubts saying, God, I don't even know. Do I have what it takes? Friends, I share this with you to encourage you. If you have a dream today, if God has placed something on your heart, I encourage you to listen to him. I encourage you to spend time with him. He will reveal his heart to you if you listen. I was initially stubborn. I was initially like, I've got just way too much going on. And yet, on that mountaintop in Oregon, I knew how important this was to God. And who was I to say no? I needed to change my heart. I needed to not only physically, but also spiritually change the way I thought. And without a doubt, this has been the most gratifying, exciting, and scary, and rewarding experiences in my life, and I know in the lives of our volunteers and of the children. Friends, as our faith intensifies, each puzzle piece is going to start fitting together. I know it did for me, and I know that God wants it so bad for you to understand that the Holy Spirit's prompting and God's big picture is unfolding right in front of your eyes. It might not be clear, but do know that we are not asking you to just walk blindly and just take a huge flyer and just do something without thinking and praying and listening. And so I've got a few areas that I know were super helpful for me. These were the steps in knowing God's heart. First is seek his heart. Go to a quiet place. Go to a quiet place and ask him, Lord, you've placed this on my heart. Is this me or is this you? Is this an idea that I've had for a moment, a month, or years? Is it something that is so deep in my soul that I can't get it out of my head and my heart? Is this your peace? Have you wrestled with it? Have you wrestled with it? If he's given you a dream, have you wrestled with it? And it's okay if you have, because I can almost guarantee you that most, if not all of the folks in Hebrews 11, I know Annie, I know me, and I bet if I asked any one of you, you've probably wrestled with the idea. You've challenged God saying, why me? But I can tell you this, trust me when I say this, that God equips you. God will provide the right people at the right time. He will give us perfect timing, and he will put together the situations and all of the pieces to blend perfectly. Third thing that worked beautifully was seeking wise counsel. First, seek him in prayer. Seek him through devotion. Seek him in his word. Seek him like you've never done before. Talk to a pastor. Talk to a trusted friend. Talk to a counselor. Talk to someone that you can share your dream with. that you can share and they can give you honest and loving feedback? Do you have peace about this? As I mentioned earlier, he will bring peace to you. He does not desire your life to be worried or frenzied or stressed, but rather finding true peace in him. Often those that have gone down the path of taking a flyer or taking a risk or stepped out in walking toward him and with him have felt an incredible peace. He draws us into his presence and he draws us into peace. And lastly, you've gone through all of that. Now it's time to take the step. It's time to take that big leap. And we know that letting go of control is hard. We get that. But I'd rather be surrendered by his will on my divine path because of his presence and his peace and his strength and his security than on my own peppered with anxiety and frustration and disappointment, but rather going, I am following you, Lord, and I am with you on this. If you are seeing all of these pieces come together and you've earnestly walked through this, maybe some people call it crazy faith. Others that I learned, you know, in Oregon, they call it pray, listen, and do. Pray, listen, and do. And so I encourage you to do the same. Take your peace with you right now and close your eyes. Grab onto your peace. Are you wanting to take the next steps? Are you afraid to step out in faith into the deep unknown? Has God placed a dream on your heart so close that you haven't even talked to anyone about it? We cannot always see the big picture, but we do trust that the Lord will give us enough to guide us, to direct our steps, even when it feels awkward, even when it feels uncomfortable, and like no one's going to believe me when I'm telling you this. Choose this moment by moment trust walk with him. Step up and out onto the pathway of trust and walk with him. Let him hold your hand. Let him take you through those shadowed places. But also let him take you through the dance of the sunrise. There is no need to worry. There is no need to worry. Put it all on God. This is your piece of the puzzle, your piece of life. Lay it down entirely and walk along with him. Feel his peace flooding through your veins. Peace lays at the feet of surrender, true surrender, where you lay it all on the line for him. He is calling us to be obedient. He is calling us to take that next step, even if we don't understand it or see it, knowing it is in his grand plan. Open your eyes to the wonder, to the joy, to the full recognition of living for him, not for ourselves, but for him. There is freedom in allowing us to step aside so that we can do his work through us. Let him place each and every piece of your puzzle in your life. I envision a big, grand puzzle with God's got the biggest piece, and it's right in the middle, and it's got his name engraved on it hugely. And I know and I see pieces of my life that I can say, that was Crystal Peaks. That was this situation. That was that situation. And I don't even know that they connect. And yet all of a sudden, the Lord says, wait a minute. I just put all of those pieces together for you. Let's take another look. Keep our eyes on what is unseen and pursue a faith with passion and fire that goes through your veins. And someday you're going to see that the things that seem to be falling apart were actually the things that were falling into place. Will you take this peace and ask yourself, where am I? Is this my life? Is this part of my life? Is this my dream? Is this the person that just I met and I just had this incredible encounter with? Is this a job? Is this a decision? What is this piece of your life? And I encourage you to take it and make a big wall of your pieces of your life. And knowing that God is in the center of it and He holds the entire truth of your life and your purpose for His kingdom. And He gets all the glory for it. Let's continue to worship.